Grace to you and peace from God our Father and from Jesus Christ our Savior and Lord, coming again on the clouds of heaven. Amen. Continue our sermon series today on Luke chapter 6. So we can open there. We've gotten up to verse 43. So far we've talked about Jesus telling us to love our enemies and to judge not lest we be judged. Now we get to verse 43. He says, "For no good tree bears bad fruit, nor again does a bad tree bear good fruit. For each tree is known by its own fruit. For figs are not gathered from thorns, nor are grapes picked from a bramble bush. The good man, out of the good treasure of his heart, produces good, and the evil man, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of his heart, his mouth speaks." Today, I'd like to talk with you about what comes out of our mouths, our words. And my aim today is that we might learn to speak words that are righteous and good and pure and healing and true, and to avoid words that hurt and bite and cut and tear down and kill, because words can do all of these things. And I'd like to talk with you today about the control of the tongue and bringing forth good words from our lips. And as we do that, what do we need to talk about? We need to talk about our hearts, because it's out of the abundance of our hearts that our mouths speak. That's where they come from. So we need to talk about, how do you have a good heart? Can you have a good heart? And what's Jesus tell us about storing up in our treasury of our hearts good words that we might speak them out at the proper time? So this is what we're talking about today, words. Let's see what Jesus says. Well, first off, you could look at Proverbs chapter 18, verse 4. "The words of a man's mouth are deep waters." Think about that. Deep waters. Proverbs 13, verse 3 says, "He who guards his mouth preserves life. He who opens wide his lips comes to ruin." And let's all just be kind of honest with each other. When you get into trouble in life, it's usually because of your words, right? You get in trouble at work. You get in trouble lying to the IRS. You get in trouble speaking a harsh word to your spouse. Most of the trouble, in fact, almost all the trouble we get into in life is because of what comes out of this opening. I can think of a time, to my own embarrassment and shame, when I was dating Beth, and I didn't really mean it to come out wrong, but I was used to hiking all day and going all day on very little food, and just that's who I was. And Beth had some health issues, whatever. We were dating, and we went hiking in the Maine woods and the hills and the mountains there. We'd had a little bite for breakfast, and we got up to about 11 o'clock, and she asked about lunch, and I said, "Are you hungry again?" Not really a word you want to say to a woman or to your girlfriend. And, you know, we remember that with great laughter and embarrassment and shame for me these many years later. But, you know, once a word leaves your lips, just like from a bowstring, can't get it back. And you can get into a lot of trouble with your words. Now, sometimes we have a little slip of the tongue, but a lot of times it's the words that really are fiery, you know, shot out with hurt and anger, spoken out of frustration that can hurt and kill and wound and really get you into all kinds of trouble in life. Once a person gets frustrated, if you're going to speak out of what's in your heart, that frustration is going to come out your lips and it's going to get you into a lot of trouble. The tongue is just a little member, though, isn't it? Think of how much trouble we get in from just a little tiny member of our body, the tongue. The great ship Bismarck, the Nazi battleship, went to sea, and it destroyed the pride of the British fleet, the HMS Hood, in 10 minutes. Boom, up it went, ball of smoke. Nobody could stop this ship. It's the invincible pride of Hitler's Nazi Germany. Well, it just so happened that a British torpedo plane got in there and was able to put just one torpedo. The whole hull was basically invincible to torpedoes, except it hit the rudder. and because it hit the rudder, they got jammed and stuck, and the Bismarck started doing circles and circles, and they couldn't fix it. And the whole British fleet, in the meanwhile, caught up and destroyed the Bismarck in a ball of smoke and a burst of flame, and down she went to an icy grave in the deep, all because of hitting its rudder. And think about what James says about this. He says, look at the ships also. Though they are so great and driven by strong winds, they're guided by a very small rudder, wherever the will of the pilot directs. And so in the same way, the tongue is a little member and boasts of great things. How great a forest is set ablaze by a small fire. How much destruction and ruin can be brought into your life through this little tiny member called the tongue. And so it's very important that we talk about this today. But you know what? Words are not really the problem. The real problem is the heart, because words come out of the heart. The real problem is the heart, and our hearts are evil. Jesus says, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The evil man out of his evil treasure brings forth evil from his lips. And we read in Jeremiah 17, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately corrupt. Who can understand it? So we might want to, when we're feeling frustrated and angry and irritated, we might speak a harsh word and we say, oh, I didn't mean that. But you know what? You really did, because it came out of your heart. At least for that moment, you meant it, because out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. The New American Standard Bible translates it this way. For his mouth speaks from that which fills his heart. That's an interesting way to read it. And the heart is sort of like a treasure chest, if you will. Whatever is stored up inside there is what eventually comes out here. You can't just control this on your own will. It's whatever is in here. That's what's going to come out, and that's what we're going to have to talk about. And if you want to really know what's in another person's heart, just watch what's on his lips. And not just in public, but in secret places where he doesn't think anybody's listening. And here's a really more pointed question. If you want to know what's in your heart, how much good and how much evil, think about what comes out of your lips, even in your secret places where nobody else is around. So how much good is in there? How much evil is in there? What do you have, and how much trouble can we get into from the tongue? I want to talk about the power of the tongue for just a moment. It's a powerful thing. God says in the Bible, in Proverbs 18, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and those who love it will eat its fruits. Proverbs 15 says, a gentle tongue is a tree of life, but perverseness in it breaks the spirit. Think about that with me for a moment. A gentle tongue is a tree of life. When you have a gentle tongue speaking, it's just pouring life like a tree of life all around you. A good man out of a good tree bears good fruit. But if you have perverseness in your lips, it breaks people's spirits. You can cut courage down to the ground. You can cut a person down to the ground with your words. And God says this. David says this. This will be Psalm 64. He says, hide me from the secret plots of the wicked, from the scheme of evildoers, who whet their tongues like swords, who aim bitter words like arrows, shooting from ambush at the blameless, shooting at him suddenly without fear. Now, Jesus often would use illustrations several times over, right, in different situations. So that's what I'm going to do today. You've probably seen this if you've been here for several years. Illustration of my two arrows. We just read there that words are like arrows. Some of them are white arrows, tipped with medicine, a tree of life and healing. You notch them in your heart, launch them from your lips, they shoot over into somebody else, and I'm filled with courage. I'm filled with strength. I feel loved. I'm uplifted. I'm built up. There are good arrows that God wants you to come out of your lips. But then again, there are also the black arrows that come out of our lips, right? The words dipped and laced with poison. And they're launched out here, perhaps to a young boy. Maybe, you'll never measure up, says the father. And that never really comes out of the heart. And for the rest of your life, you're feeling the poison of those words. Perhaps you're a young girl and someone says, you're not pretty, you're fat. Oh. And even if you're, you know, skinny and all those kinds of things and whatever, you never get that word out and you think you're fat or whatever. How powerful words are. And there are white arrows. There are black arrows. And so also we see this in spiritual realms, right? God's words are always white arrows, pure, true, righteous, just, powerful. Every word of God proves true, Proverbs 30. He's a shield for all those who take refuge in him. God is not man that he should lie, or the Son of Man that he should repent. Has he said and will he not do it? Has he spoken and will he not fulfill it? Psalm 12, the promises of the Lord are promises that are pure, silver refined in a furnace on the ground, purified seven times. All of your father's words are these. Wisdom's words are these. There's nothing crooked or perverse in them. They're straight and sure and true. That's the kind God wants you to have. But the ones we find more in the world are the black arrows. And you see those also in spiritual realms, in the invisible places of the devil. What do we read? Jesus says, why do you not understand what I say? It's not because you cannot bear to hear my word. You're of your father, the devil, and your will is to do your father's desires. He was a murderer from the beginning and has nothing to do with the truth. For there is no truth in him. When he lies, he speaks according to his own nature. For he is a liar and the father of lies. Lies. Hurtful words. He's called in Revelation the accuser of the brethren, who accuses them day and night before God. And we're told in Ephesians to put on the whole armor of God, that we may stand against the wiles of the devil. And then we're told to use the shield of faith with which we can what? Quench all the flaming darts of the evil one, his flaming arrows, which are shot at us. Only the shield of faith can quench them. They are so harsh. So in the spiritual realms, there are white arrows, God's. There are black arrows, the devil's. And so what does he want from his children on earth? We find that there are more black arrows, poisonous ones, in the world all over the place. But the children of God who are born again are to have white arrows and more in their quivers, in the quivers of their hearts, so that they may fire those out. And wherever you go, people are maybe turned off by the word, but really what happens is people just love being around you. Because, boom, good word, boom, good word, boom, true word. Ah, this is great. It's giving me life. That's what God wants in us. And it says in the Bible that he grieves over the black arrows that are spoken and shot back and forth. Just imagine if you could see invisibly and you're walking down to Walmart or go to work or go to school. And if you could see them as arrows, what do you think you'd be seeing flying by all the day? I mean, it'd be a veritable just, you know, black arrows flying all around you. Whoa, whoa. But God wants us to have these. Listen to how he grieves in Jeremiah 9 over the black arrows in the world. He says, oh, that my head were waters and my eyes a fountain of tears, that I might weep day and night for the slain of the daughter of my people. Oh, that I had a desert, a wayfarer's lodging place, that I might leave my people and go away from them. For they bend their tongue like a bow. Falsehood and not truth has grown strong in the land. For they proceed from evil to evil, for they do not know me, says the Lord. They bend their tongues like bows. Wow, that's powerful stuff. And again, what are the black arrows like? They're lies, for one. We read in, I write you, says John, not because you do not know the truth, but because you know it and know that no lie is of the truth. Black arrows are lies. They're also gossip. Their talk will eat its way like gangrene. Just imagine when gossip gets into the church and you start using this kind of an arrow and you talk about people behind their back and not straight to their face. The devil can destroy this church overnight. With gangrene, put that poison in there, and boom, the whole place. So guard yourself against gossip. Harsh words, bitter words that cut like sword thrusts. But you got to beware. The arrows you shoot, whichever they do, come back to you. There's actually a fable or whatever of a Hindu god who shot an arrow against his enemies. And this arrow was a supernatural arrow. So it went and slew his enemy, slew his other enemy, slew his enemy, and killed all its victims until eventually there were none left. And the arrow then returned back to its own source and hunted the Hindu god for the rest of eternity. And he went running from it. Of course, that's a fable. It's Hinduism, but nevertheless, it's a true word in this sense that the words you speak are going to come back to you and hunt you. And Jesus says, Matthew 12, I tell you, on the day of judgment, men will render account for every careless word they utter. For by your words you will be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. Words are very important. But notice this once again. Jesus says, good people, out of the good treasure of their heart, the good quiver, speak and produce good. The evil man, out of his evil treasure, produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. So now let's talk about the heart. The heart is, what we need is a good heart. We need a good quiver filled with white arrows. How can you be good, though? How can you be a good man or a good woman? Now I'm speaking to Lutherans here, right? If you've been raised in the Lutheran church your whole life, you're going to say, I am not good, right? I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess me. I, a poor, miserable sinner. I, a poor, miserable sinner. And, you know, we have these words in Scripture, no one is good but God alone. All have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. No one does good, not even one. So we think, how can I be good? How can I be a good person? Well, let's talk about that. How can I have good, because in order to have white arrows, I got to have a good heart, Jesus says, right? Do you know what? When Jesus says the good man out of the good treasure of his heart brings forth good, he's telling us that God sees that there are good people on this earth and there are evil people. God actually does see good men and evil men, good women and evil women. All right? So how do you have a good heart? You can. How do we do this? Well, the first thing you need to do is confess that you're not good. Isn't that interesting? To be good, you got to confess you're not good. Why is this a good thing? Because as long as you think yourself good on your own, you're disagreeing with the Word of God, which calls you a sinner, right? The very first time you confess, I am a sinner and I've fallen short of God's glory, that's the first word and thought you ever have in accordance with the Word of God. And if you have a thought or a word in accordance with the Word of God, that's a good word. So to confess, I am not good, is actually, you know, a good word, because you're confessing, I have sinned and fallen short of God's glory. You're in agreement. And to sum that up, it means repent. The second, and what do we read here? Isaiah himself said, woe is me, for I'm lost. I'm a man of unclean lips. And I dwell in the midst of a people of unclean lips, for my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. But God has a good word for those who confess that they're not good. Though the Lord is high, he regards the lowly. The haughty, the arrogant, he knows from afar. The sacrifice acceptable to God is a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart, O God, you will not despise. That's number one. The second thing is to confess Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. What do we read in Romans chapter 10? Paul says, because if you confess with your lips that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. It's the second good word and good thought you ever have. First, that you've confessed your sin. Secondly, that you've believed in Jesus. Why is that a good word, to confess him as Lord? Because once again, it's in agreement with God's word, with his word. You confess that, that is well-pleasing in his sight. When you say, I turn to Jesus as my Savior, God is so happy with that. That is a pure word, a lovely word. He loves that because he gave his son for you. And then when you confess him, that gives him all delight. That's what he sent his son for, to save you. And when you believe in Jesus, you're saved from your sins, you're forgiven, you're given the Holy Spirit, and actually you have now been born again as a good person. And guess what? Already, because you have a new heart, a new quiver, God has already notched in there some arrows into your quiver, and you're saying, I confess Jesus is Lord. I confess Jesus is Lord. I believe God raised him from the dead. And all of a sudden, what's coming out of your heart and out of your lips? Good words. But then you might say, well, I'm saved. I believe in Jesus. But I still have some black arrows coming out. In fact, quite a few. That's trouble. Well, what do you need to do? You need to keep on storing up in your quiver the words of God. Remember, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks. And for a while, you know, God is conforming us, friends, into the image of Jesus Christ. We read in Colossians, in these evil things you once walked when you lived in them, but now put them all away. Anger, wrath, malice, slander, foul talk from your mouth. He's telling Christians to get rid of that foul talk. Do not lie to one another, right? Seeing that you've put off the old nature with his practices, and have put on the new nature, which is being renewed in knowledge after the image of its creator. So guess what? When you are saved, you start having good words, and then every day, God, the Spirit, by studying the word and putting it into your heart, is putting more and more good words into your quiver, so that the more and more you grow in him, the more coming out of your lips is simply, bam, it's the word of God. Everywhere you go, boom, a word comes out that's been stored up in there, the word. Can we help in this way? Well, the Spirit is the one who does the changing of us, but we can help in this sense. We read in Psalm 119, I have laid up thy word in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Do you do that? I want to ask you, right? You give me an answer. Well, you can't really say that, but do you store up and lay up this word in your heart, that you might not sin against him? We pray also, Psalm 141, set a guard over my mouth, O Lord. Keep watch over the door of my lips. When you pray to God, the Holy Spirit, I picture an angel like Gabriel or Michael when I pray, standing there at my lips, and I'm praying, you know, any word that comes out that's a black arrow, Lord, that's starting to come out, whoosh, hit it with your sword before it leaves my lips, right? We pray, and the Holy Spirit does that. In fact, I was driving to church this morning, and I almost every morning, one of the prayers I have is, God, make me dumb and unable to speak what is not your word. And what is your word? Make me bold, strong, straight, clear, and true. I pray that every Sunday over the bridge. So we pray, and God strikes down those bad words we pray, and he only lets to fly the good words. That's what we want, right? And also, when we're laying these things up, think about the sermons over the last couple of weeks. Love your enemies. Do good to those who hate you. Pray for those who persecute you. Bless those who curse you. Do not judge other people. Do not condemn other people. I want to ask you, how long do those words sit in your heart and your mind after I preach the sermon? Did you forget them by the time you got to coffee? Did you forget them by the time you got to Portside Galley? Did you forget them by the time you got home? I'll admit, sometimes on Monday, I think to myself, what did I preach on yesterday? Even though I worked on it for 20 hours the week before. I can only imagine how hard it is for you. But you know what? Sheep. You know, you are the flock of God. You're the sheep of God. You know what a sheep does 3-4 hours a day? He takes the food that he has eaten in one of his stomachs. It kind of comes up. He chews the cud. He brings it back up and starts chewing on it again and working it over, and then it goes down again, basically. So what I want you to do is be sheep. Take the word that is heard here on Sunday, chew it, digest it, and then bring it up again at Portside Galley. Don't get too disgusting here. Bring it up again at home and talk it over with your spouse. Bring it up again and talk over it through the week and keep chewing on that word. Because you know what? You're never going to get good words out of your lips. Ever. You can't tame the tongue by yourself. Until what is in your heart is the word of God. And so what we want to do is keep meditating upon it. Chewing the cud. Keeping it in there. Memorizing scripture. So that the more you do that, man, you go through your life and all of a sudden, boom, out comes this word. And it says in my grandmom Kittrell, her favorite word, one of her favorite verses in the Bible, a word fitly spoken is like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. Isn't that a beautiful word in Proverbs? It's like apples of gold and pitchers of silver. That's what God wants all of your words to be like. You know why? Because his words are true. His words are perfect. By his word, he creates the world. By his word, he upholds the universe. By his word made flesh, Jesus Christ, he came into the world, who is called the Word, to save you from your sins through his death, through his resurrection, who is at the right hand, who is coming again. Jesus is the Word of God. It says in the Old Testament, the Lord God has given me the tongue of those who are taught, that I may know how to sustain with a word him that is weary. That's speaking of Jesus. He has those words. He wants you to have a tongue like his that sustains those who are weary. For this I was born, says Jesus. For this I've come into the world, to bear witness to the truth. He who is of the truth hears my voice. And Jesus answered, if a man loves me, he'll keep my word. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our home with him. When Jesus, the Word of God, is living in your hearts, out of your mouths comes his word, because he's inside you speaking his words. Do not worry, he says, when you're brought before governors and kings and judges on my account. I will give you the word at that time, he says, because he's living inside of you. Is Jesus living inside of you today? Amen. Is the Holy Spirit living inside of you? Yes. The Father living inside of you? And are you storing up good arrows dipped in medicine that bring life and healing to those around you in your quiver of your heart? For it says in Revelation of the saints, and they have conquered the accuser of the brethren, the devil. They've conquered by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony, for they love not their lives even unto death. And so we conclude, my lips will shout for joy, and I will sing praises to thee, my soul also, which thou hast rescued. And my tongue will talk of thy righteous help all the day long. In Jesus' name, amen. Okay, if you'll please stand, and we'll confess our faith with our lips. Out of the good treasure of our hearts, the Apostles' Creed, page 8. I believe in God the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Spirit, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, died, and was buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he will come to judge the living and the dead. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, a holy Christian church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. And you may be seated. Do you know that whenever you speak words like that, that just gives God so much pleasure up there in his heart? His fatherly heart just bubbling over with joy at you. So let's now give to God our offerings, remembering the words of our Lord Jesus Christ, how he said, it is more blessed to give than to receive.